Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you've seen dead bodies as much as I have, you start to realize that, like,
the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Kranevelt, and this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game that's available on Microsoft's Game Pass service, which was chosen for us completely at random. Whether it's a magical or a horrible experience, we will force ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not the game is worth your time. At the end of every episode, we'll also be randomly drawing the game for the next show as well, so you always know what's coming up on the next adventure. And it is always me and one guest, and this guest will sound pretty familiar because you would have just heard him 2 weeks ago on the Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice episode. Mike is back. Mike, how are you doing today?
I am doing better than I was last time.
Because you didn't have to play Hellblade?
Well, that, and I'm not sick, so that helps.
Mostly the Hellblade, though.
Mostly the Hellblade, response. Yeah.
But since we talked about Hellblade, you know, there was an announcement I thought you'd be excited for, and that was Hellblade 2. Watching that trailer, I was like, oh, Mike's going to be... I think he might switch to PlayStation.
No.
No, nothing would make you do that?
No. No.
For those that don't know Mike in real life, he despises PlayStation and most things that Sony does. How do you feel about Spider-Man?
Spider-Man's fantastic. I just wish Sony didn't own it. I mean, Deadpool's pretty great too. So, although that's Fox,
That's Fox. So,
now that's Disney, anyways.
Well, now it's Disney.
I mean, just like out of Disney, Marvel is usually kind of eh.
Sure.
Usually.
But no PlayStation for you.
No, my hands are too big, man. My hands are too big for symmetrical
for
controllers.
Hellblade 2?
That looked pretty good.
I love the play. Hellblade 2 does. That was a cool trailer. That was a cool reveal. I wasn't expecting something like that to really be one of the first big games they were showing off for the new Xbox console.
I know.
Which has received... Did it have a name the last time we talked about it?
No.
The Series X? No? Which isn't... Xbox, but it's weird. They're almost as bad at naming things as Apple is, I think.
No, they're as bad at naming things as Nintendo is. I feel like this is going to be like the Wii U.
I feel like the Wii U though was kind of their only real bad one though, and Apple and Apple is generally very confusing with their naming conventions, and I feel like Microsoft is too.
I mean,
like,
here's
to go
the thing:
from 360 back to one, but. Not that one, another one, a different one, and then now just back to Xbox again. They've come full circle. They've done a 360, if you will.
Wah-wah. I feel like someone at Microsoft really needs to get slapped hard. Like, they were like, hey, you know what? The Xbox One's launch kind of sucked, and it was mostly like a communications and marketing and PR kind of problem. So, you know, the best solution for our next Xbox would be to go back to that same company or same firm or whoever they hired for that marketing and get them to do it again. It's like they deserve a second chance.
I agree. The ad was very cool that they showed off at. Where was it even shown off? What even happened? It has been a weird month We've had a little break in recording, not a break in releasing episodes, but a break in recording. And I feel like I'm all over the place. I feel like I've been in a little bit of a gaming funk since Christmas as well, where it's like, I know I got to play game. I got two gaming podcasts. I got to play these games, but it's like, I would rather do absolutely anything else than sit down and pick up a controller. I don't know if it's like a winter thing or what, but it's like been tough. And because of that, I didn't play this game as much as I wished that I had, but I still have a lot of thoughts on it. But, I don't know. How's your gaming been lately?
Oh no, it's been post-apocalyptic. There's been not a lot of gaming happening. It feels like the world ended. I mean, it just is what it is. This game, I don't know, was not really conducive to being able to sit down and play all that much. At least I didn't realize it at first.
Yeah, I feel like that's, yeah. And I mean, game-wise, why don't we jump into it? We're talking about Left 4 Dead. Oh, no, wait, we're not. We're talking about World War Z.
I can see how you could confuse that.
I know, right? We're talking about World War Z. World War Z.
I mean, if you're in Canada or Britain, World War Z.
I am.
I know you are.
TMZ.
Yes.
But yeah, World War Z, the game that's, you know, based on but not really connected to the movie, which is based on but not really connected to the book.
They're in the same universe.
They are, but I don't think that the book and the movie are in the same universe. They are very different.
Well, they're kind of, anyways. Okay, so.
But tell us World a bit War, about it.
Sounds good. World War Z is a heart-pounding, four-player, cooperative, third-person shooter featuring massive swarms of zombies that recklessly rush their living prey. Focused on fast-paced gameplay and inspired by the incredibly popular Paramount Pictures property of the same name, World War Z explores new storylines and characters from around the world in tense, overwhelming, gruesome, exciting missions.
That's a lot of action words in the description.
It is. That was written by, I don't know. I can think of a few people that does Microsoft console names. Pretty much. I do web development as a side job, and I've switched from like lorem ipsum. I don't know if people here, I know this is getting off topic. I've switched from lorem ipsum to something that is similar. So lorem ipsum is like Latin, and it's like old print face stuff.
Sure.
And the new stuff I use is effectively like buzzwords, like just
okay.
And it felt like someone just ran it through that plugin.
Like Grammarly just suggest all of these words, or like what's the gist of that?
No, it's called corporate ipsum, and it's just like
okay.
If I was to describe it, it would be like leverage agile frameworks to provide a robust synopsis for high level overviews. Iterative approaches to corporate strategy foster collaborative thinking to further the overall value proposition. I mean, you could have just spat it out like that. That was a lot of buzzwords. I mean,
yes.
But to be fair, that fairly accurately does describe.
No, you're right.
This game.
You're right.
I mean, I am used to, like, I guess, post-apocalyptic worlds that take place less, more in like rural wherever, and not so much in like downtown, like
state of
New
decay
York.
And stuff, like small town.
Yeah, where like I mean shit is a little more serious in some ways in those games.
Yes.
Because when you get a special zombie or whatever, you're like, oh my god, I could die here.
That's true.
But it definitely led to some fun moments.
It did. And we played this game together for about somewhere 4 to 5 hours, actually. Yep. But before doing that, I jumped in offline and played it by myself for a little bit. It is not super fun offline, and that's fine because it's not meant to be an offline game. I feel like I'm kind of weird in that I generally only play games single player unless I can play with people I know in real life, which isn't conducive to making friends on the internet, because how do you make friends on the internet if you won't talk to anyone on the internet? So I started by playing by myself.
To be fair, no one on the internet when you're in random matching uses microphones.
Oh, that's fair. So it just feels like you're playing with NPCs.
Yeah, except they'll actually use heavies.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I feel like this is a game I wouldn't want to play with randoms. I mean, if you're into that, then fine. But for me, it's like you'd get down. I don't want to get like teabagged while I'm getting picked back up and being called a noob by a 12-year-old. I don't know. I know that's not the general community. It's just been my sort of experience.
Sure.
But it's funny because I legit like got in there and the way they describe things, it's like play online co-op. And it was like, okay, I can play the co-op campaign, but I don't have anyone to play with. And it's funny because you like went ahead and did it and you're just like offline. And I just looked at that and I'm like, I can't play until I find friends. I'm like, well, this is going to be difficult, Derek. I understand why this is taking forever to record.
And I mean, as like describing the game, it's basically if you picture Left 4 Dead, there it is. That's the game.
Yeah, more or less. Except you put it in like a Paramount universe as opposed to...
And it does do it. It feels super derivative of games like Left 4 Dead. Like it's four players that are sometimes they're connected. Sometimes it seems like they're just random people, and you're basically just trying to traverse from point A to point B. Each kind of mission has like three or four sections type thing. Like in Left 4 Dead, you would get to the safe house, and then that's when okay, now we're safe. We're moving on to the next area. This game felt like it had similar things. You know, there's you can carry a med pack. Each you can carry a limited amount of weapons, just like a sidearm and your regular gun, and then a like heavy weapon if you can find it, just two grenades. Like it's so similar. The biggest thing is like first person versus third person, I think.
Yeah.
And then it's I feel like the Left 4 Dead, it feels more stylized in that it's like it, neither of these games feel like they really have anything story-wise, but Left 4 Dead just being in these, like, you know, the loading screens are like these B-movie posters and you're playing through like swamps and that sort of thing.
Yep.
It just felt kind of more stylized towards kind of that B-movie idea, whereas this kind of just feels like more, I would say a little bit more generic in its environment. That said, though, like the first mission felt kind of generic and you're just in like New York or something like that.
Yeah.
There was definitely moments in it in that mission that didn't feel generic, which we'll talk about, but like then you go to Moscow and Jerusalem, and those then once we got there it felt less generic, I guess, because those aren't environments that you see as typically as places like New York or insert big generic city that here type thing.
Yeah, and those stories also weren't as much about the whole oh we're just escaping to somewhere safe kind of idea, right? Like the New York mission was just a bunch of people who were grouped together to survive and get away. They weren't related in any way, and that as opposed to like the Jerusalem mission where they're all like special forces and they're going,
that's
like
true.
They are surviving, but they have an objective in mind to actually solve the problem, where there's a little bit of story and a little bit more character involvement there.
That's true.
I mean, there's some ways that I don't know how I would describe it. The frustration I felt when we bumped it from basic difficulty to like a step up from that.
From one skull to two skulls.
I know. Kind of soured a little bit for me because it was like, okay, yeah, one skull was too easy. And then two skulls was like, holy shit, I'm in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still like overpowered in terms of like what I'm doing and that. But the swarms are all of a sudden just like ridiculously kicking your ass.
Yeah, that like it felt like the just normal gameplay felt very similar, but when swarms were happening, you got very overwhelmed very quickly. And between the easiest and the second easiest modes, things like I would run out of ammo, and which would have never happened before type thing, because you know on the easiest it seems like it's like one or two shots and you're able to take down the regular zombies, whereas in harder mode it took a lot more. Not that it took a lot, but when there's, you know, the one of the really impressive aspects of these games is the amount of zombies that can come at you at once, and sometimes it felt literally like hundreds and it was fucking crazy.
Oh, it was hundreds. Like when you count, when you look at the actual counts at the end of it and you're like, wow, I killed 900 zombies in that last round.
It's insane. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, this game wasn't sold at full price either. I'm pretty sure it was $40 or $50 when it came out, but it doesn't look that spectacular. Like it looks okay. It's definitely not going to win any awards for the graphics or anything like that. But the amount of things that you could see on screen at once was truly impressive almost every time it happened. And in the New York mission, there's a cool, There's a cool moment when you finally get outside, you get out of this mall or whatever building you're in, and they're like raining from the sky because they're jumping off the building to like try to come at you type thing. And you have to like basically like run from cover to cover, because if they hit you as they fall, they hurt you. And it was just like, that was one of the coolest like scenes in a video game for quite some time, like that I can recall.
Yeah. So that surrealism of the, I mean, here's the thing about the movie too, is like, it's such a unique take on zombies.
Sure.
Like I said in the last episode that, you know, I hate fast zombies. Like they're like my nightmare. I love zombie stuff, but fast zombies, no freaking way, man.
what about them is the, what's the problem?
Cause then it just feels less like zombies and more like mutants. You know what I mean? Like,
but is that a problem?
Well, I mean, for me it is, because is it
the fact that they're calling them zombies? But they're...
Yeah, and it's like when you've seen dead bodies as much as I have, you start to realize that like rigor mortis is like a legitimate thing that zombies would suffer from.
Okay.
And so like the slower zombies, like the Walking Dead style zombies, make a lot more sense.
Okay.
In that regard. But I mean, it is what it is.
I haven't seen the movie since it came out in like 2013, but is it zombies or is it just an infection in this?
I think it's just an infection. I can't remember either. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. I should have gone back and watched the movie, but Laura's, my wife's big fear as well is fast zombies. So she's like, nope, there's no way in hell that you're watching that movie in this house while I'm home. She's
no 28
home.
Days later, no World War Z.
Nope.
Those are banned in my house.
100%. There's nothing.
You want to play World War Z? You can bring your Xbox outside.
More or less, yeah. I wasn't allowed to play it upstairs. I had to play it in the basement. I was like, that's fine. My Xbox One X is downstairs. I want to play it on that anyways.
It's the good one. That's the one you got to play it on.
It is.
But yeah, it was impressive in those moments. Did you play on, you played a little bit on your own as well, is that right?
Yeah, I did, after I realized that you could. When I texted you and I was like,
yeah,
oh man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to like play more. And you're like, just play it online. And I was like, oh,
right.
Or just play it offline. I was like, oh, okay. I guess that,
right.
That's a thing.
And we're comparing it to Left 4 Dead a lot. And it does really, really feel like a Left 4 Dead clone in a lot of ways, but it does add a number of things as well. Of course, in Left 4 Dead, there's not classes. Each of the four survivors are equals, and it's just a matter of choosing which guns you're picking up off the ground, essentially.
Yep.
There are six classes available in World War Z, from like a gunslinger who gets more weapon damage, I think, and some different ammo. Hellraiser gets explosives. Slasher, you're obviously more of a melee-oriented character. Medic, you get to... Medic was actually really helpful. You played the medic for a while. How did that feel?
I did, yeah. I love playing the medic. It was interesting for sure. I mean, my only complaint about it is the fact that you can't adjust your starting weapon whatsoever. Mm. The medic starts with the compact SMG, which is fine. I mean, it's fine because of the fact that for some reason in this world, every zombie except for the bulls are like 5'6". So once you've dialed in,
so you
where
can just
their head
keep
is,
your aim centered, and
yeah,
that's true.
And the funniest part about that was the fact that it's like I when I was playing on my own, I had this part where there was a screamer kind of like at the top of the stairs and around a corner, and I couldn't get to him because the zombies kept like filtering down, and I burned through all of my primary ammo. I burned through my heavy, and I was just burning through my pistol, and I was just, it was like headshot after headshot after headshot after headshot, because they were all coming down the exact same way on the stairs. And so I was just able to, I was like, if I had unlimited ammo, I could just sit here all day and just get like a million headshots. It would be no problem.
Well, and that's kind of cool, because you, at the end of each section, you kind of get like rankings for the four people that are playing. You get like who caused the most damage and who helped out the most teammates and who got the most headshots. So it's kind of like nice, because it's, I don't know if you get anything different from it, but it's cooperative, but there's a little bit of this competitive aspect where like, oh, my name's at the top of the list.
Yeah. And it does, it kind of helps with a little bit of team competitiveness, I guess, or you know, oh hey, you're really kind of dragging us down here, you gotta pick it up. And I mean, the nice thing though is, because it's ranking you on so many different aspects, you can actually like look at it and be like, okay, well, that was what I was focusing on and I did really well there, because I wasn't really focusing on, you know, your medic should always be the top of the list for helping people.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think we did a pretty good job of that because the medic, I'm, you know, when we were playing on the easiest difficulty, which it actually like we played a couple of rounds on the easiest difficulty and then we were like, oh, let's move the difficulty up. This feels too easy. And then it actually, it's neat because when you go into the menu to change the difficulty, there's actually, because you level up the classes and that lets you, your weapons get stronger as it happens and blah, blah, blah. And it actually has, each difficulty has a recommended level. So we actually didn't change the difficulty right away because we were at only like level 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
And the next difficulty up was recommended for level 5. So we stuck on easy until we hit level 5 and then we switched and then we got murdered. So
yeah, because we would have never made it to Jerusalem.
Yeah, we still got, yeah, even at like level 5 or 6, we were still getting murdered.
Oh yeah.
But that's when the like the medic's abilities didn't feel super necessary when we were playing on the easiest difficulty. But as soon as we were playing on the next one up, it definitely came in handy because you had the ability to like give extra health and heal yourself while healing other people. Is that correct?
No. Well, okay. So the other thing that happens is just like with anything else, you get like you have a tree, right? So you can
A perk tree. Yeah.
Spend points. Yeah. To activate certain perks, but like each column can be activated at the same time. So you have to like choose between column A, column B, column C, column D.
Sure.
And they unlock as you go. So it was like by the time that was done, I think I was giving, when I healed, I could heal faster and I was giving a bonus temporary health when healing.
Well, and I think when you healed someone else, you got partial healing as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I got 25% back.
So that makes it super useful because whenever we would come to like a section where here's a couple health packs, we would have you pick them up and heal the person that needed to be healed so that you could top up your health as well.
Yeah, it felt a little bit kind of like the perks kind of make it feel a little bit, it reminds me of like Gears 4.
Okay.
Just because of the fact that like it was like that way with the scout in Horde mode too. It was like, okay, the scout has to go get it because he's getting an additional bonus to picking everything up.
Oh, okay.
So it felt a little hectic in that regard. Also, the stim gun took forever to figure out how to use.
You just kept like, stimming yourself.
Yeah, I was like, I can stim myself, but that doesn't help because we don't have any health packs and I need Derek to survive this section. And also the
and that just allowed the stim pistol gives you like extra health, right? Like more than what the maximum would be. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like
taking the pills in Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, kinda, yeah. And it just like it also like wears off over time. So it's not like
sure.
Yeah, it's not like you're going like in Duke Nukem where you get the atomic health. It's in more Duke Nukem. Yeah.
What a reference.
Yeah, I went there.
What a reference.
We got to go all the way back, man. All the way back.
I remember when Duke Nukem, what's the one that took forever? Oh, Forever.
Yeah.
When Duke Nukem Forever came out and you were so, when it finally came out and it got terrible reviews everywhere and then you were like playing it and just loving it.
Except for the load times.
Did you buy the collector's edition of it?
No, I did not, but it took, yeah.
No, like with the bust of Duke?
No.
I feel like I remember you talking about it, like you wanted it.
But I mean, it was like, I was like, the game, the story was all right. I mean, like by Duke Nukem standards, it was fine. I mean, we're off topic here, but it was fine. But I mean, the biggest problem was it was just like a technical flop. But it was still like, I mean, I liked it in that morbid kind of way. You know, it's like
this is so terrible and I'm having a blast.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was still Duke Nukem. I mean, at the end of the day, if I have to fill my like Duke fix, I would rather have better graphics, even if it does take a year to load every time I die.
It's funny because like talking about it's so terrible that it's great. I feel like I feel like that about movies often. Like so many movies come out and I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks so bad. Like let's go see it right now as soon as we possibly can.
Yep.
Never do that with video games. Like if a video game looks bad, I'm like staying as far away from it as I can unless it gets drawn for this damn podcast. But which is weird because like I don't know, is it because I'm asking a question out loud to myself? Like is it because games are a much bigger commitment or are a much higher cost typically unless you're playing them on Game Pass? Or I don't know what the reason is, but I've never thought about it until right now.
I think your logic's sound. I mean, here's the thing. If you're a huge fan of a series, you're likely to buy that game regardless of whether or not it looks terrible.
If you're a huge fan of the series, that's true. I did push myself through a lot of shitty Silent Hill games.
There you go. See?
And I'll do it again. Just make it happen, Konami. I'll do it again.
Like they only did it to us once with Duke. They only did it to us once.
The other ones were great. How many Duke Nukem games were there?
Oh, I can't remember. there's so many. I remember playing like the original one on DOS when it was like a platformer.
I remember playing like the shareware version, which I think you can only play like the first level.
Medic,
then there's the Fixer. In terms of the classes, Fixer just has a bunch of extra equipment, so they can dish out like explosive ammo to people to help with tough situations and have other perks that allow them to restore ammo. And then there's an Exterminator as well, which has Molotov cocktails, and they do extra damage with fire as well. So six classes that felt quite varied. I generally played as the Gunslinger just because it felt like kind of an all-around class. And then as the Gunslinger, I picked up the heavy weapon chainsaw every moment I possibly could, because that thing seems way overpowered while it lasts, like to the point where there's 100.
I mean, I hated it. I finally played with it. I was just like, nope, not using this, going back to something else.
Why did you hate it? It was so cool. Like, you just mash the right trigger and you just take down everything until it dies, and then you're screwed if you're still surrounded.
Or, you know, you happen to like be up front and a bull rushes you.
Yeah, I got lucky. I don't think that ever happened to me while I was chainsawing.
Yeah, it's because I had the shotgun and was hunting bulls. That's just what I did, because those were the only frigging kills the AI would let me get.
And then the chainsaw was also great for you guys, because again, we played together for, I was like, oh, I'm going to play Xbox this morning with Mike and with our friend Graham. I was like, I'm going to play Xbox for like an hour. And then 4 hours later, or 4.5 hours later, or whatever it was, I'm like, I should probably go, because it's been a really long time. Generally, I don't know, I play games in short sessions, like an hour to 2 hours, and then I'm like, oh shit, I've been playing this way too long, and I'm not being productive at all. And then that was like 4 hours that just flew by.
Yeah.
Which I was having a lot of fun in those moments.
And to be fair, like, that's the thing with this game. Yeah, it's kind of a ripoff of Left 4 Dead. It has those amazing
which
elements.
Which is fine. That's not a bad thing, because we're not getting another Left 4 Dead anytime soon.
No. And that brought those like amazing cinematic elements from World War Z, like the pyramiding zombies and stuff, was just crazy.
Oh, and they would like, you would, they'd be climbing up on each other and like getting to you after you'd like set up barricades and stuff. And it was like tense.
Yeah. I remember the first time we saw that in the mall, and we're like, oh, there's a lot of guys down there. Like, what are we going to do? And it's like, well, how are they going to come up? And we like, we like prepared ourselves at stairwells and shit, and they did, nope, we're just coming up the wall.
We're like, they can't come up. Let's just pick them off from, let's pick them off from up here. They can't, there's no way for them to get up. And then they just climbed each other.
Yeah, just made a pyramid.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, that moment was great, because when the game came out like last fall, but there apparently is still this bug where if you have the chainsaw and just mash the button because you're in the middle of a swarm, once the chainsaw's gone, it disappears from your inventory and you just go back to shooting your gun. But for you guys, every time that I had the chainsaw, I would just continue to swing it forever, and there would be bullet, like, you got your, but you would, it would show as a gun. I would be swinging my gun to you, but also shooting at the same time.
Yeah, and you'd be making like the same grunting sound, like you were like waving around the giant chainsaw still. It was pretty fantastic.
For me, the chainsaw's gone, and I'm just shooting normally, and I have no idea that it's happening, and you guys are like laughing your asses off, and I have no idea what you're laughing at.
Yeah, and that's what the great thing about the Xbox is, because we were just like, Xbox, record that, and it was like, okay, here's Derek doing something
dumb. That was cool. I really do appreciate I really appreciate the capture system on the Xbox, because I really love that, like, you don't have to do anything. Like, you just hit, like, if you're lucky enough to have a Kinect, which will always be a part of the Xbox. It's not just a switch we can turn off. If you're lucky enough to have one of those, you can just say it. But otherwise, you just have to hit the home button and then press like one button for a screenshot or another button, and it like just saves the last 30 seconds or a couple minutes of gameplay. But I love that it just, if you have the app on iOS or probably Android, it just uploads it automatically. So then you can save it to your camera roll and do whatever with it. Because I like PlayStation, there's been a lot of cool stuff where it's like, oh, I want to take a screenshot. But you either have to like share it to Facebook or share it to like somebody on PlayStation Network, like a friend, or you can plug in a USB stick. And then I recently got an Oculus Quest, and I don't even know how you get pictures off of that without connecting it to Facebook, which I do not want to do.
Yeah.
But the Xbox just makes it so easy. Like, you, within a couple minutes, you had like messaged it to me. So that it's pretty rad.
Yeah. And specify there, like, text messaged it. Well, it was iMessage, but yeah. messaged it to you. Not like through any social media.
And you didn't have to manually do anything from your Xbox to get it over. Like, it just is part of the whole cloud system that they use for everything.
Yeah, they did an excellent job of that. They don't get enough credit. Well, you know, if they had a better marketing team.
Yeah, and it's come in handy so many times. Like, if I, you know, when those a couple times a year when I do like a game review, I'm typically taking screenshots during that process, and then I just go to my phone later and they're just there. I don't have to think about it. I just take the screenshot and just wait a little while, and then it's ready for me, type thing. So I love that aspect of it as well.
Or like Sea of Thieves, and you're like, man, I really want this as my desktop background. Oh, wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Man, I'd love to play some more Sea of Thieves sometime. I feel like I generally avoid multiplayer games, even when I'm playing with my friends, for whatever reason. I just feel like they're generally not as, like, I just really like stories in games, and it generally doesn't feel like they have them a lot of the time, like games like this, games like Sea of Thieves. But then when I play a game like this, or I play a game like Sea of Thieves, and it's like the most fun that I ever have playing video games. Like, when Sea of Thieves came out last year and we all played it a bunch, like, and especially once they started doing updates and like the Megalodon came out, and we like,
yep.
Were you in that group? Were you were playing with the Megalodon, right?
Yep.
And it was like it was such a long session, and like shit was going off everywhere, and it was just so cool. And then I'm like, I never want to stop doing this. And then I just stop and never pick it up again.
That's, you know, it's funny like that, but I mean, that's the thing. That's the argument to be made for these kind of games, right? It's like, okay, well, there's not really a ton of story here. I mean, the stories are there's four stories. Really, they're all quite short because they're all in effect like one act of a campaign, but just told from different groups around the world.
Yeah, because each level, the Moscow level, the New York level, like they're all completely separate with completely separate characters. Like, you don't have to like play them in any order or anything like that.
Exactly. But it just, the thing about it is like the stories that you're going to tell are about how, you know, there was that weird bug that one time and Derek started shooting, you know, with a gun while flailing it around like it was a chainsaw. It's the stories that you make. It's not the stories that
you sound like an ad for Sea of Thieves.
Well, you know, it is that game is literally this any story. I'm like, and then Graham did this and Derek did that, and then our boat sunk, and so we just played music until we died. Like,
then like, we stole this other guy's boat, and then they or so many good memories with that game.
Yeah, that time that I stole that other guy's boat and then accidentally ghost rode it into our ship.
And then we just like spent the rest of the game just fighting each other until we all died instead of like collecting treasure and stuff.
Yeah, that's the game. That's the thing with this game. Like, there is a ton of fun to be had there. As far as the zombie game goes, it's still a great zombie game. I'm glad that it doesn't have permadeath or anything like that. You're not going to get your arms ripped off, but it's still just fun. I mean, it's fun to kind of grind through levels with your friends like that.
It is, definitely. Do you have any complaints about the time you spent with the game?
Not terribly. I mean, I think the AI, at least at the lower levels, the AI for your allies is a little OP.
I don't know if that's, I feel the same way. I feel like anything I didn't like about the single player, I'm like, it doesn't matter because like it's not meant to be a single player game. I feel like when we played, I wish just a couple things that I have. I feel like the difficulty ramped a little bit heavily. Like, it went from too easy to like a little bit too challenging too quickly. I wish there was like a little bit in between. And then that kind of rolls into the next thing. I feel like in the, you know, we're playing Moscow, we're on the next difficulty up, and we're getting pretty far along in the section. And then like once we all die, you're basically starting the whole level over again. Like, I wish there was not a ton of them, but a couple of checkpoints here and there, than there are, because it felt like you got far enough back that I was like, oh, like now we're wasting time just retreading over this stuff that we already played, type thing.
Yeah, like, because there was that yeah, just as an example, in the first chapter of the Jerusalem mission, where you like kind of set off this alarm so that they come to you and come away from where your objective is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of breezed through that. And then we struggled kind of through the next part. And I feel like, yeah, you're right. There should have been a checkpoint there, because after that, shit gets crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's just a little bit. I feel like where the second skull is really where the third skull should be, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, it felt like we went up two levels. Like, all of a sudden, it wasn't like a progressive, oh, there's more zombies, or oh, the zombies are stronger, or your guns are weaker, or whatever, or there's less ammo. It felt like it was like, okay, all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're going to go from like arcadey to way more realistic. And then it's just going to turn into like, you're screwed more. You're just, I don't know why you're even bothering.
All of a sudden you're just all yelling at once, 'cause you're all dying at the same time for different reasons. And like, oh, and now you can start the whole thing over again.
I can't figure out like what the fifth level would be. Like, is the fifth level is there's no more regular zombies. Everything is a special. Like, it's like, oh, look, there's 15 bulls and like 7 creepers. And
'cause they're, we haven't talked about it, but there's like, just like in Left 4 Dead and probably every other zombie game, there's like special infected. So there's ones that, you know, there's like a gate, one's called like a gas bag or something, which is similar to the boomer in Left 4 Dead, where once he dies, there's a big cloud of gas that poisons you and you can't really see through it. And there's like a guy that pounces on you and sticks you onto the ground, and you have to be, someone else has to shoot him off of you basically. And there's like a screamer, which attracts more zombies until you kill it. And there's a couple more that I can't remember.
So there's the infector.
Oh, they're the heavy.
And the
infector, yeah, which infects you, and then you have to basically like disinfect yourself, which is hard to do if you're in the middle of like a swarm or something. You have to disinfect yourself pretty quickly or you turn into an infected. And then there's like the heavy, which is similar to, it's like a smaller version of the tank in Left 4 Dead, but he picks you up, he slams you on the ground. You also have to be saved by someone else to be able to survive, essentially.
Yeah, and unlike the creeper one that just jumps on you, like, he takes a mm-hmm. lot of ammo to take down. So you take significant mm-hmm. damage while you're being held there, getting slammed against the ground repeatedly. Oh, my God.
Totally, yeah. And if someone's, like, not right there, like, sometimes it does feel beneficial to, like let's take this next group of guys from different angles or whatnot. But it means that if you can't get back quick enough to your friends, there's a very good chance they'll die, especially just on that next difficulty up.
Yep.
Type thing. So they all had descriptions as well. And the top one was like, it was called like Nightmare or something like that, but it was like, it's the end of the world and you're not supposed to survive was the description of the difficulty.
Yep.
So that sounds fucking awful.
Yeah. Like, kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like you're right. The difficulty does curve up really quick. Like,
yeah,
I feel like now that I'm like getting,
not that you have to go up, you could stay on that difficulty, but then it's too easy. Like, I just want something in the middle, so it's like, feels like a light challenge.
Well, and you can't necessarily buy upgrades as quickly either, right? Like, eventually you're not going to be able to purchase the higher upgrades without playing all the way through all the campaign just to get one upgrade.
So many
like
times.
All four.
Yeah,
because on the lower levels you're only getting like 150 for completing the mission, where we got like halfway through one time and got 150 on the second level.
Totally. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the rewards are bigger for you, you sticking with it on higher difficulties as well.
And they do reward you. That's the other nice thing. They do give you partial rewards as well if you quit. Like, you don't have to complete the mission to get
your
full rewards.
They're much smaller, but it's nice that it's nice. It doesn't feel like a total waste of time.
Well, and I mean, if you're like close, like, that's the thing. If you're close and you get, you know, just enough that maybe you can upgrade your shotgun, or maybe you can buy that like next tier item, that could be the difference. I mean, or in our case, not, because then like we got slaughtered in the second section the second time we tried to play.
Yeah, that's true. And then it was just frustrating because I was like, I just want to get past it, but I don't want to go through this whole thing again because it took like half an hour to get here.
Yep.
So that's I feel like that's one of the few complaints that I have. Yeah, I mean, there's always, it was a budget title, so it doesn't look as pretty as other titles that are coming out, but who cares about that? It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with the time that I played it. I would definitely jump into it with you. I would definitely play it with you guys again. And in fact, I would love to if we can make it happen.
Absolutely.
I would never play it on my own again. It's not fun at all by yourself.
No. Well, I mean, I found
just it, like Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead's the same way.
Yeah, I found it like, it was kind of interesting. Like, the Jerusalem mission, like, there was enough story there that I was kind of like, okay, I'd love to see what happens.
Sure.
But I mean, if I played through it once, I would never go back to it unless I was playing with friends.
And then we didn't try it, but once you're outside of the campaigns, there's also like, there's a couple of additional modes as well. There's a horde mode, which sounds like it's probably a standard horde mode. And there's one other mode that I can't remember off the top of my head now. Do you remember what it was?
Wasn't it a competitive?
Oh, is there competitive as well?
Yeah, 5 competitive multiplayer modes. There's player versus zombie mode.
Oh, PvPvZ. Wow. That would be cool.
Yeah, but you need enough people. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'd love to play that again with friends. I don't know that I would want to necessarily do that with a large, I don't know, like with randoms.
Yeah, that's fair. And I feel like I wouldn't, I those modes generally don't interest me that much, but I wouldn't. Probably wouldn't try them anyways until I had finished all the campaigns.
Fair.
Because they felt like they were, like, we got through the whole New York one in a cup, but that was, again, on the easiest difficulty in a couple of hours. So if they're all a couple hours long, but you're playing them on decent difficulties, they're probably going to take quite a while longer than that. Because we probably played 2 hours of Jerusalem as well and didn't get, like, we probably were halfway through.
Exactly. And that was, like, only the first section of the whole Jerusalem thing.
Was that still the first section? I thought we got to the second.
Nope. We just got through.
Wow.
We got nearly to, like, we got right to the end of the first one. We failed.
Oh, that's the end of the first attempt. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we failed while they were repairing the helicopter or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
damn helicopter.
That was the other thing too. Like, people in this bloody campaign, it was just like, I don't know. The best way I could describe it would be like the pain. It's just like, seriously, this guy complains to us the whole time that he's running low on fuel. We got to hurry up. We're running low on fuel. Then finally we get to the helipad. He's sitting there waiting and he's like, oh, the helicopter's broke, dude. You just got to hang on while I fix this thing.
And right, like you couldn't seriously? Have done this when we were doing the other thing that you needed from us.
Yeah, like, come on, seriously.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I didn't really think about that.
Oh man,
yeah, silly stuff. I don't know. I would play it more. I liked it. I like the aspect. You know, again, obviously, so many comparisons to Left 4 Dead because it really feels super similar to Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. But that game, it felt like there wasn't any progression. Like, you're just playing the same things over and over again and they're fun, but you're not really doing anything aside from seeing them out, and you can change the difficulties and whatever. But, you know, here, just the progression of your character is actually getting better. You're unlocking perks in these perk trees and figuring out what works best for you as a player, and also you're upgrading your weapons and everything like that. So again, now the fifth time we need to go through this, it's maybe not as hard, or we're close to being able to bump up to the next difficulty. Like, it feels more replayable, I would say. That I played quite a bit of Left 4 Dead, but I feel like this feels more replayable than that because of all of the stuff that continues after your session is over type thing.
Oh yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just looking here, just interesting the fact that, like, this was apparently the number one selling game its week of release in the UK.
Why the UK specifically, I wonder?
I don't know, because it wasn't everywhere else. I just thought it was interesting it was number one anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts on World War Z?
It's a good game overall. I mean, if you got friends to play with, best way I could describe it.
Yeah.
If I had to, like, say if I was going to recommend it or whatever, it's like, sure, if you want a shooter that you're going to play with some friends, totally go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's overall, it's a good game. I mean, it's the gameplay is there. And I mean, the rest is kind of forgivable because the gameplay is there.
I feel like it's very, in terms of recommending, it's very similar for me. It's you know, it doesn't do anything super original, but I feel like it doesn't have to really. It's a lot of fun if you're playing with friends. Again, I wouldn't play it without at this point, having tried it. Maybe some people will like it. It has some pretty cool, pretty cinematic moments that legitimately I was like, this is freaking cool. And I wish I had a few more of them, but those moments really stood out to me. And it helped to, like, it rose the experience up a little bit. Like, it felt a little bit less generic. And throwing generic around, like, generic's a bad thing, but it's not as generic as I'm making it sound, I don't think. And these moments that I'm talking about really lifted it up from that as well.
And that's the cool thing is, like, when you think of, like, moments where you look at a game and you're like, in Senua's Sacrifice, it's like, okay, you're just throwing 35 guys at me and it's going to be a pain in the ass as I grind through this crap.
Yep.
In this game, those moments, the funny thing is like, okay, well, we need to make this level longer. I know, we'll just throw a horde here. but it doesn't feel grindy because those moments are so hectic and incredible and like awe-inspiring when you see literally zombies coming in like a flood. And it's like, there's just so many and you're like, oh my God, how are we even going to deal with this? Incredible. And it feels like it's awe-inspiring every time, regardless of where they stick it. It's just, you know, it doesn't feel like padding.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't feel like, yeah, you're right. It didn't feel like the campaigns, they felt tight.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't padding. They weren't bulked up at all. Like the hordes, when they happened, felt like big, important moments in the game. And they weren't just thrown in there to like kill you or to make you take a while longer. Like they felt legitimate.
And I mean, that's what they were there to do in terms of like making it feel like it's going to take a while longer. But
sure. Totally.
It absolutely does not feel like that. And it feels like you're running around like constantly just trying to find the next pyramid of zombies trying to come kill you. So, yeah, I mean, overall, it's got some really great mechanics. If you love Left 4 Dead, you'll likely love this game too. Mm-hmm. And the multiplayer is just fun. I mean, that's the long and short of it.
Totally. Like I said, I would definitely play it. I would play it some more.
Yep.
And I hope that I will. Cool. Well, if you have nothing else to say, I'm going to go ahead and draw the next game.
All right. Let's see what the next game's going to be.
Ooh, okay. So next episode, we will be playing the Untitled Goose Game. The Untitled Goose Game, and I'm so excited for it. I've been so excited for that game. That game came out months ago, and I've not played it, and I was so excited for it. Bought it on the Switch. Didn't play it on the Switch. I've been to PAX for the past 2 years, and they always have, like this past PAX, Michaela got to play it. She talked to the people from Panic who are making it, and it's just this, like, incredibly adorable looking game about being a goose that just annoys people, and I don't really even know what else you do, and I'm so excited to play it.
I love that game. Seriously.
Have you played it then?
I guess I wasn't thinking about it. Yeah, after I got back from Christmas, John's kids were like raving about it, and I'm like, okay, well, let's go check it out. And Laura's like, yeah, I want to see what that's all about. And then I, like, in two sittings, played through the whole game. It was pretty fantastic.
Because it's only a couple hours long, right?
It is. It's pretty short, but you got to put a lot of thought into it. It's a really good game. Like,
yeah.
And it's an interesting like puzzle kind of game because you have to think a little bit
mischievously.
Oh, that poor kid.
Yeah.
That one poor kid that you have to torture.
Spoilers, man. I'm sure it has a deep story like World War Z did.
100%. It's all about that. It's all about that like ending that it's got a fantastic kind of ending.
Well, now I'll have to make it to the ending, especially if it's only a few hours long, I guess. Cool. I am super excited for that. I think that's it for this week.
Alrighty.
This has been, thank you so much for coming on board again for the second episode in a row.
Yeah, no problem.
We didn't have a 10 episode gap this time.
Woo! Am I the first person? I think I'm the first person to be on two in a row.
I think that you are as well.
All right.
I think that you are as well.
Now I get to take a 10 episode break.
Right. I mean, you don't have to, but you can, no. You know, you can do what you want. Do what you need to do. I need to take a 10 episode break.
There you go.
So I can play some video games that I want to play instead of ones I have to play. That said, I really want to play Untitled Goose Game. Yeah, I'll take a break after this next episode.
There you go.
No, I won't. I was going to take a break. I was planning to take a break when Cyberpunk 2077 came out, and now I don't have to worry about that for a while longer. So
there you go.
So I won't.
The show will go on.
The show will go on. This has been another episode of Xbox Game Passengers. We have been talking about World War Z, and we both had a lot of fun playing it. If you are playing the game yourself, let us know what you think of the game. We are at XGP Podcast on Twitter. You can also email me anything you want, accept subscriptions at Derek@Geekscape.net. And if you do like the show, we've been around for a little while now. If you like us, you know, anything you can do to get us out there, whether that is sharing it with a single friend, posting a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, we really appreciate it. And it makes us feel like someone might be listening. So, listeners, thank you. And Mike, thank you again. And we will see you soon for another episode.
Absolutely.
All right. And 2 weeks from now, we'll be chatting about Untitled Goose Game. So until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.